Scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the age for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, what no eye has seen or heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received this Spirit of the world. We have received not this Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they themselves are subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Today we continue looking at adulting in Christ, how we grow up, and how the church continues to grow up into Christ. And in chapter 2 of this letter from Paul to that church in Corinth, the word pneuma plays a big part. Maybe you see it as part of like pneumatic drill or pneumatic tire, whatever, pneuma, or the word pneumaticos. It shows up 14 times just in this second chapter of Paul's letter. And so he contrasts, as we did last week, it was the wisdom of God over against the wisdom of the world. This week, the focus is on the pneuma tou theou, the Spirit of God, over against the spirit of the world. Point pneuma tou kosmou. Now, the other concept that keeps appearing in this chapter is this. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ crucified, he said, that's the heart of our message as Christians. And he tells the church in Corinth how, no matter how well educated he was, no matter what great philosophical arguments he could make, it was really not about him, but the Spirit of God that brought people to Christ. And in Athens, I'm sure he was remembering this. Remember, he had gone to Athens, and he thought he was doing such a great job of using one of the statues of one of the gods. He saw all the gods with their statues in one. He said, this is the one I want to talk to you about. It says, to an unknown God. Let me tell you about it. And so with his best explanations and arguments, you know what? He was never able to start a church in Athens at all. For all of his smarts and all his charming wit, there was no Athens church founded by Paul. And so I think over time, Paul had come to realize, you know, it wasn't about him and his abilities. Rather, it was about the Spirit of God that draws people to Christ, that changes lives, that makes for healthy Christian congregations as well. And what is the significance of Christ on the cross? How on earth can that be the thing that changes lives? And not just individual lives, but at work in the whole world? Well, on the cross, God, Paul tells us, God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself. The beginning of that process, which will be completed at the end of time. God reconciling the world back to himself, restoring a relationship that humanity had so badly broken. God, just imagine this, the God of the universe, all-powerful, all-knowing, willing to take upon himself all the sin and rebellion of the world, dying with it on the cross, crucifying it, so to speak, taking it to the grave, as Paul says it elsewhere. And the reason we keep remembering our baptism month after month here, he says, in our baptism, we've been buried with Christ, buried, put to death with Christ, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. Last weekend, our staff and our leaders all made use of something called the Gallup Strengths Survey. How many of you have heard of that? It's internationally known. 2 million people have taken it. And there's research. It's fascinating. And the point of it, and it was, by the way, developed by Christians, they wanted to help focus on the positive strengths that everybody has, rather than our weaknesses, strengths. And so it was really fascinating to see what various people's strengths are and different. And in this thing, which, again, God created you, every one of you, unique and unrepeatable. Think about that. In all of history, there's never another you. Awesome, huh? That's powerful. He says, in fact, with statistically speaking, you are so unique that there's only a 1 in 64 billion chance that anybody could be like you. Isn't that awesome? How many people are in the world right now? Not 64 billion, anyway. Wow, that's awesome. And how each of us is so necessary in the body of Christ with our gifts that are so unique. And in the future, we're hoping that we can have a bunch of you take that survey and see what your strengths are and be affirmed and how you won't need to use them. One of my major strengths when I did this survey was, surprise, surprise, called WOO, W-O-O, which means winning others over. Okay. Yeah. That was my biggest one. Okay. And to influence people, you know? And when I'm in the Spirit of God, remember the Spirit of God, pneuma tu theou, instead of the Spirit of the world, in one way or another, or some other spirit that can push me around. When I'm in that spirit, it's a great gift. I love how I can draw people in and invite them to use their gifts and energize things. It's a great gift. I love that. But when I'm in a different spirit, spirit of the world of one kind or another, we can call it Satan, if you will, then I get thinking it's all about me and my strength, right? My strength, this illusion that I should be able to make anything happen. You know what? Sometimes that gets me into trouble. I've told this story before of how when I was a pastor in a church in Milwaukee, the men's ministry, they did lots of hard work. They had this passion to convince the congregation that we should have a Christian preschool in our building, because there was room for it and it was needed in the community. And we thought it would be a way to witness to the world, you know, around us. So they did all this hard work and we came to a congregational meeting to vote on this thing. There was a lot of conflict about it. And that resolution to have a preschool failed by 2 votes short of a 2/3 majority. 2 votes. And I was just convinced I could turn that around by getting out all the facts, all this detailed information, so everybody really read it instead of voting emotionally, right? All that stuff. And then we were going to have a second vote. Well, in my illusion that I could make that daycare center happen, you know what? I caused more damage in that congregation than the first vote had caused. Years later, I had to humbly recognize, you know what? If the Spirit of God had wanted a preschool in that building, there would have been one. Right? There are things in us that need to be crucified, nailed to the cross, put to death, so that we can grow more deeply into this intimate, saving relationship with Christ. So that over time I can grow deeper and deeper into this mystery that Paul talked about sometimes. He said, you know, it's no longer I, my ego, myself, my strengths. It's not about me. No, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That's where the power is coming from. Right? And that's the only way I receive the real life, the true life that Jesus Christ died for me to have, by being crucified with him on the cross. And you know, for me, I have to keep remembering that this life that Jesus died for me to have does not include me controlling all the outcomes. Simply not in my power or my job description. You know, I can be helpful, I can use my gifts, my strengths, I can listen and support and question and challenge people with those gifts, but the outcome is in the Spirit of God's hands, not mine. And you know what? Some days, and today, for sure, that feels really freeing. It feels good to not have that power. So, there's my confession for today. Now, we're going to have some open mic time. Come on up, everybody, to share your sins. Oh, okay, never mind. It would take too long, I know. But you understand, Paul is telling us by his own confessions too, by the way, right? That Jesus' death on the cross has the power to take that sin of mine and yours as well and nail it to the cross so that we can be set free more and more over time, free to the life he intends for us to have, even if that means the Spirit of God has to break down our stubbornness sometimes to do it. We're not going to get very far into this first letter to the Corinthian church during this Epiphany season, so I'm going to cheat a little bit. You know how God's Spirit works in us? By loving us. Loving us. The heart of the way the Spirit works is love. Chapter 13, you've heard it at scads of weddings and probably some funerals. Really, it's about all of us all the time, how God loves us. Sometimes with some tough love, you know, when we're getting out of line. But it's God's great love that saves us by, and then you know this saying, you've heard it, I'm sure, you know, God loves you just the way you are, and he loves you way too much to leave you that way. Amen? And when we're growing up into that kind of love, yes, we do get more spiritually mature. Paul says, you can become more adept at identifying more readily when you are in alignment with the Spirit of God or when you're out of alignment in the spirit of some other thing of the world. For instance, when you are centered in the Spirit, let's look at the next slide. Paul says this, when you're in this love with which God loves us, changes us, empowers us. It's a love that's patient. It's a love that's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's a love that's not rude. It's not self-seeking. When you are in the love that is of the Spirit of God, you are not easily angered by things. You don't have to keep record of wrongs and hold resentments. It always, love like God loves, protects, hopes, preserves, and never fails. Because it's not my love, remember? It's the love of God in Jesus Christ through me that's working. That's one little quick test you can have of where your spirit is, right? and if you're in alignment with that spirit or a different one. And there's another. Here's a thing I came across this last week. And again, as we grow more mature in this life in the spirit, we do, Paul says, yes, there is a deeper mysterious wisdom that can grow in us the more we identify with the Spirit of God. So for instance, look at this. What's life in the Spirit look like? If it's the Spirit of God, you can tell. Pay attention to these things in yourself, because God stills you. The spirit of the world, of Satan, if you wish, pressures you and rushes you, keeps you kind of under stress all the time. No, the Spirit of God reassures you. So if you're feeling frightened and anxious and worried all the time, that's not of the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of Satan of the world that's pushing you around. The Spirit of God leads you. The spirit of Satan pushes you around, right? Pressures you. The Spirit of God enlightens you. But the spirit of Satan just wants to confuse you all the time. The Spirit of God forgives you. So, if you're going around beating yourself up for some past sin, yes, we do need to be faced with and confronted with our sin, but then it's over with in the cross of Christ. Remember that, we're forgiven. But if you're going around feeling condemned, beating yourself up over some old sin in your life, that's not the Spirit of God. That's some other spirit. Yes, as we grow up, we can recognize these signs more readily of whether we're in the spirit of God or in some other kind of spirit. Isn't that good? So we need to keep growing in this stuff. And what about a church? How can you tell when a church is centered in the Spirit of God instead of in the spirit of the world? Well, here are some criteria. Our Mission Vision 2020 group, and now 2 weeks ago our congregation affirmed this mission, vision, and values that we're going to get more acquainted with. And we've said, in the Spirit of God, this is our mission, please say it with me. We seek and welcome all to connect, celebrate, and serve in God's love. And this is our vision, that all have life through the love of Christ. And by the way, it's backed up by these values one at a time. The first one, these are the values that guide us and tell us if we're on in alignment or not, I think. So welcoming all. At Lord of Life, all means all. All right? The next one. We're going to learn more about these as the year goes on. In the Spirit of God, we believe we're called to find connections. Connections between ourselves, connections with God, and connections with the world out there so that we can witness to the good news of God in Christ where people are at. Experiencing grace, that's pretty, no surprise there, right? We believe that. We're saved by this gift of God. It's not about us. It's about the gift of God in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're called to proclaim and share. Serving God's world, called by the Spirit to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, yes, that have been given to us as a gift in the community, in the world around us. That's a great thing. And then finally, celebrating life. Who here thinks Lord of Life knows how to celebrate? Just look at last week when we celebrated the Super Bowl of Caring to raise money for the Montgomery County Food Bank. And by the way, we raised almost $2,000, which is really good. And we had fun doing it. Wasn't that cool? It was a good time. And I won. No, Kansas City won. Some people say we cheated, but whatever. I think those are pretty good indicators, don't you, of having us kind of watch and notice when we're in the Spirit of God and when we're getting off track as a body. Because it's His mission, not ours, His love, not ours, that we call to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified, huh? So here we are, called to continue to grow up into Christ. You and I as individuals, and called to grow up more and more into Christ as a church, trusting not in our own strengths, as important as they are and good as they are, but trusting in the power of the Spirit of the living, loving God, who gave it up, all of it, for us on the cross, so that we can live the life it's meant for us to live.